Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 1. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I wrapped up my series on the topic of life extension and healthy aging with a discussion on blue zones. Blue zones are literally places on the planet where people not only live long, but they also live well. The five blue zone regions include Sardinia in Italy, Okinawa in Japan, Loma Linda of all places in California, Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, and Ikaria in Greece, which is an island on the west side up north on that northern side of Greece, right in that beautiful Mediterranean. Now, people who inhabit blue zones share 10 common lifestyle characteristics that contribute to their longevity and functional state of health. We should all know what they are. We should memorize them and keep them in mind. Number one, family. Two, no smoking. Three, plant-based diet. Four, constant moderate physical activity. Five, social engagement. Six, no prescription drugs. Seven, warm temperate climate. Eight, natural biological chronological rhythm. Nine, rest and sleep. 10, independence. The lesson? Create your own blue zone in your head. In other words, create the right state of mind that lends itself to blue zone behavior and inner health. We become what we think about, so it stands to reason that if we think about health and what it takes to be well, chances are we'll achieve that end as a consequence of our thought-directed actions. On this edition of Clinical Review, I want to return to my continuing discussions on principles of sports nutrition. There are 110 of them, so let's pick up from where we left off. The next principle in the series is PSN number 18, thyroid health. I've already discussed thyroid health and function on a previous edition of Clinical Review. The actual volume is volume 9, number 6. So I recommend listening to that particular episode if you want additional related insight on thyroid health. What I'll do on this edition is discuss other aspects of thyroid function that I didn't cover in the previous episode. So the first important function of the thyroid that comes to mind is the production of calcitonin. Okay, most of us think of thyroxine and thyroid hormones. So let's talk about calcitonin, which plays a role in calcium metabolism and homeostasis. Calcitonin, or thyroid calcitonin, it's a polypeptide hormone, and it's produced in humans primarily by the parafollicular cells, or the C cells, of the thyroid. So there's special cells that secrete calcitonin in the thyroid gland. Calcitonin acts to reduce blood calcium, and it does this by opposing the effects of parathyroid hormone. So there's an antagonistic hormone there. Parathyroid hormone is secreted by the chief cells of the parathyroid glands. It acts to increase the concentration of calcium in the blood. Recall from Module 4, if you are a CSNA student of the CSNA education program, Module 4, that insufficient dietary intake of calcium leads to erosion of both bone and muscle. Through the action of parathyroid hormone derived from the parathyroid gland, bone calcium is released for the purpose of maintaining and optimizing blood levels of calcium. But not only does parathyroid hormone instigate a reduction of mineral density in bone, it also has a catabolic effect on muscle fibers. Adequate calcium ingestion is critical, therefore, not only to cardiovascular health and bone density, but also to the preservation and growth of muscle. And most of us don't think of muscle when we think of calcium. So regarding the relationship between calcitonin and parathyroid hormone, what we have going on inside the body is a teeter-totter of sorts, a kind of a natural balancing act. If calcium in the blood climbs too high, calcitonin is released by the thyroid gland and acts to decrease calcium concentration. If levels of blood calcium drop below acceptable levels, parathyroid hormone kicks in and acts to increase calcium concentration. So calcitonin lowers blood calcium levels in three different ways. Number one, it inhibits calcium absorption in the intestines. The intestines can't absorb it. Two, it inhibits osteoclast activity in bones. An osteoclast is a type of bone cell that resorbs bony tissue. Osteoclasts disassemble bone composite at a molecular level by secreting acid and an enzyme called collagenase. This process is known as bone resorption. So calcitonin inhibits that process. And three, calcitonin inhibits renal tubular cell reabsorption of calcium, allowing it to be excreted in the urine. Now, in its skeleton-preserving actions, calcitonin protects against calcium loss from the skeleton during periods of calcium mobilization, such as pregnancy and especially lactation. Now, let's get to the thyroid here. Thyroid disturbance in pregnancy can affect the health of the mother as well as the child before and after delivery. Uncorrected thyroid dysfunction in pregnancy has adverse effects on fetal and maternal well-being. The deleterious effects of thyroid dysfunction can also extend beyond pregnancy and delivery to affect neurointellectual development in the early life of the child. So, talking intelligence, let's talk thyroid. Demand for thyroid hormones is increased during pregnancy, which may cause a previously unnoticed thyroid disorder to worsen. Fetal thyroxin, also known as T4, is wholly obtained from maternal sources, from the mom, in early pregnancy, since the fetal thyroid gland, the baby's thyroid gland, only becomes functional in the second trimester of gestation. As thyroxin is essential for fetal neural development, it is critical that maternal delivery of thyroxin to the fetus is ensured early in gestation. In pregnancy, iodide losses through the urine and fetal placental unit contribute to a state of relative iodine deficiency. Thus, pregnant women require additional iodine intake. A daily iodine intake of 250 micrograms is recommended in pregnancy, but this is not always achieved. In fact, I know it's seldom achieved, even in iodine-sufficient parts of the world. So another example of an insufficient sustainment of the body, of females, of the fetus, of the population, they're not getting enough of what they need. The CHI Prime Directive is all about supply the biological demand. Make sure you get what you need. Now, several studies have shown an association between overt hypothyroidism and adverse fetal and obstetric outcomes. Overt simply means what is obvious or readily apparent. Maternal complications such as miscarriages, anemia in pregnancy, preeclampsia, placental abruption, and postpartum hemorrhage can occur in pregnant women with overt hypothyroidism. Preeclampsia is characterized, for those who want to know what that means, I know what it means because I've had kids and my daughters have had kids, so we've been reminded of what this condition possibly could, you know, evolve into. The condition of pregnancy has all kinds of risks. So preeclampsia is characterized by high blood pressure and significant amounts of protein in the urine of a pregnant woman. If left untreated, it can develop into eclampsia. This is the life-threatening occurrence of seizures during pregnancy. Placental abruption is a complication of pregnancy wherein the placental lining has separated from the uterus of the mother, and that's not good if it's premature. So the offspring of mothers with hypothyroidism, the mom's got hypothyroidism, the offspring of mothers with hypothyroidism can have complications such as premature birth, low birth weight, and increased neonatal respiratory distress. Neonatal is a term that relates to newborn children. So a woman with hypothyroidism is at higher risk for complications than a woman who doesn't have the condition. A threefold risk of placental abruption and a twofold risk of preterm delivery was reported in mothers with subclinical hypothyroidism. Another study showed a higher prevalence of subclinical hypothyroidism in women with preterm delivery before 32 weeks compared to matched controls delivering at term. A retrospective study of 150 pregnancies showed that treatment of hypothyroidism led to reduced rates of abortion and premature delivery. Also, a prospective intervention trial study showed that treatment of euthyroid antibody-positive pregnant women led to fewer rates of miscarriage than non-treated controls. Euthyroid is defined as the state of having normal thyroid function. So it's EU in front of thyroid. EU as a prefix means good or normal. In areas of the world where iodine is lacking in the diet, the thyroid gland can become considerably enlarged, a condition called endemic goiter. Pregnant women on a diet that is severely deficient in iodine can give birth to infants with thyroid hormone deficiency called congenital hypothyroidism, manifesting in problems of physical growth and development as well as brain development. In many developed countries, newborns are routinely tested for congenital hypothyroidism as part of newborn screening. So cretinism, that's spelled C-R-E-T-I-N-I-S-M, cretinism, which is severe hypothyroidism resulting in physical and mental stunting, including a reduction in IQ, occurs in areas of severe iodine deficiency due to the fact that the mother is unable to make thyroxine for transport to the fetus, particularly in the first trimester. This neurointellectual impairment, I like that term, neurointellectually impaired, this kind of impairment has now been shown in an iodine-sufficient area of the U.S. where a study showed that the IQ scores of 7 to 9-year-old children born to mothers with undiagnosed and untreated hypothyroidism in pregnancy were 7 points lower than those of children of matched control women with normal thyroid function in pregnancy. Another study showed that persistent hypothyroxinemia at 12 weeks gestation, which is defined as a subnormal thyroxine concentration in the blood, was associated with an 8 to 10 point deficit in mental and motor function scores in infant offspring compared to children of mothers with normal thyroid function. So the message here, people, is that thyroid health is enormously important and that a huge number of people suffer with some form of thyroid impairment. The question is your thyroid functioning up to par right now? If you suspect that you've got difficulties or challenges with thyroid, please check it out. Maybe this explains or could explain why your hands and feet are always cold. That's a common symptom of hypothyroidism. Why you get tired easily or have trouble with constipation. The thyroid is our metabolic stick shift and acts like a thermostat in the regulation of body heat. Now, just think of this. You're driving a standard. You got your hands on the stick shift. Imagine if that was broken or damaged or was dysfunctional. How would that affect your ability to drive? So keep that in mind. Let's make sure that our thyroid is in good shape. It's an endocrine gland. It's part of a network. The biological web, holistic medicine, is keeping the entire body in great shape, in working order. Feed the machine, think positive, get a lot of rest. These are some of the elements that relate to thyroid function. And of course, I mentioned at the beginning of this edition, there's lots of good insight about thyroid health and how to keep it well. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Thor Heyerdahl, Norwegian explorer and author of Fatuhiva, which is one of my favorite books. As he headed back to the comfort and security of civilization, Thor himself discovered that the only place where it is possible to find nature as it always was within himself.